So, Amy, I have two questions for you. First question, what is something that used to make you happy? You know, way back in good old 2019 that you now miss. And then my second question, what's something new or surprising you've discovered during this time of turmoil that brings you true happiness?
Well, I'll tell you the number one thing that I miss is hugs.
Oh, yes.
I didn't realize what a huggy person I am until I couldn't hug people anymore. And it's so weird. Two times during this social distancing era, I've had people hug me, and both times I felt so good. And then both of us like would pull back with this look of shock on our faces, like, "Oh, we forgot," Thankfully, neither one of the times we infected each other. But it was just a like we forgot, you know? And so hugging is what I miss the most. You want to share what you miss the most?
Yeah, I definitely my hands are up on that one. Probably the other thing I miss is being able to go to a friend's house and just hang out. You know,
Yes.
I'm thinking of how badly I want to go to Kathy's Red House and just hang out in the kitchen and sit in the living room with a bunch of other people and just talk and share and not have to worry. I mean, just something as simple as hanging out was
Yes.
such a source of happiness that I miss.
Oh, me too. Me too. Okay, something new or surprising that I've discovered that brings me happiness. Staying at home. I know that sounds crazy, but I am a goer. I really, it's funny because Barry, travels a lot for his job, or used to travel a lot for his job. And so he would come home from being gone for a week sometimes, and I'd be like, "Oh, let's go to dinner and let's go to a movie. Let's go." And he's like, "Can we please stay home?" You know? And I was like, "Oh, I've been at home all week," you know? But I really do like getting out and doing, and I get cabin fever kind of easily and quickly, but I have settled in and I'm actually quite happy in my home. How about you? What have you discovered?
Okay, well, mine is not a Whole30 approved answer.
Oh, that's okay. I've fallen off that wagon hard.
Okay, good. We are baking bread on a daily basis around here,
Oh,
and it is a four
yum.
ingredient bread. It's got white flour and wheat flour and yeast and salt and water. So I guess that's five if you include the water. And it makes me so happy. First of all, it's a really easy recipe where you just mix it and you let it sit for 18 hours. And then you throw it in the oven and let it rise a little bit. And that smell of
Yes.
freshly baked
Oh.
bread. And then, I mean, I won't say I feel like the pioneer woman. I realize I'm not homesteading or anything like that. But I've gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, what do I want for dinner tonight? Ah, there's a fresh baked loaf of bread. I will start with a slice of that with maybe some avocado or Daniel's homemade jam. And it's so simple. And there's something about making it myself, and it just makes me happy. Plus, it is absolutely delicious.
I was gonna say, it makes me happy listening to it, but I sure do wish I had a piece. I bet our listeners do too.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're processing together what we learned from Katie Orr, author of Secrets of the Happy Soul, Experience the Deep Delight You Were Made For.
On behalf of all our listeners, we want to say a big grit and grace thank you to Katie Orr and her publisher, Bethany House, for making last week's interview and today's convo possible.
Here's the Amazon description for Secrets of the Happy Soul. How do some people do it? They rise above the circumstances and distractions of life and remain consistently happy. Even in tough times, they have a quiet sense of peace about them.
Examining the Bible and her own life, Katie Orr has discovered that deep happiness and satisfaction are only possible when we are rooted in God and pursuing His good and specific purpose for each of us.
Secrets of the Happy Soul is your invitation into a deeper, more fruitful relationship with God and His Word. As Katie walks you through key teachings through the book of Psalms, you will recognize how the world's definition of happiness pales compared to the daily delights God has in store for you.
Draw closer to Him, and your soul will go from lonely to connected, from overwhelmed to level and led, from aimless to commissioned and unique. God doesn't promise a storm-free life, but He is the anchor every happy soul needs.
Well, let's start with lose who you're not. Cher, you say we're not excluded from happiness. What do you mean by that?
Okay, those of our listeners who've been working with us for, who've been listening for a while, know that I can tend to, how shall we say, I can tend to perhaps overfixate on problems. And as a result, happiness often feels very elusive to me. Like it feels like it's something for other people. So I'll have to admit, when I first saw the cover of Katie's book, my first super spiritual thought, my first bitter and cynical thought was goody goody gumdrops for all the Enneagram sevens who were born happy souls. It must be so nice for them to be so wired to be happy. But next I realized, you know, of course, if I'm born again, and if, as Katie told us, happy soul is a part of my identity in Christ, then the truth is I'm not excluded from happiness.
Wow.
I may feel that way when I see it coming so naturally to other people, but it's not true. And so, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is, okay, as a highly sensitive person, an HSP, one of the things that it comes very naturally from my personality, from my wiring, is to be very reflective. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it gets to the point of rumination. And for me, it's especially over the past, over past mistakes. And I ran across a very interesting article. And so today is going to be another vocabulary with Cher and Amy Day.
I love those days.
And it talked about regret. And that, of course, is something that I really struggle with, is looking back to the past and wishing I had made different choices. Like, there are people that I know, and many of them are, in fact, now that I think about it, Enneagram sevens, who are like, I live life with no regrets. And I'm like, well, that must be nice. How on earth do you do that? You know,
right,
if I could live
right.
without regret, I could be happy too. But what this article talked about was that it's not regret that is so hard, but recrimination. And I thought to myself, self-recrimination. And I looked up the word recrimination, and it has to do with being accusatory, and that re means it's happening over and over again. But that root, C-R-I-M, is the same root as we have for the word criminal.
Oh.
And I realized that when I go through self-recrimination, I'm basically recriminalizing myself. So I'm not just looking back and going, oh, I'm sorry that happened. I'm looking back and going, I screwed up. It's all my fault. If I had known better, if only I had seen. And the other thing the article said is that once we've made it through an experience, that we did the best we could. We look back and we suddenly see all the evidence that we think we should have seen in the midst of it. But you know how we say hindsight is 20/20?
Yeah.
And we forget that that wasn't available to us at the time because it's so blindingly obvious now. A friend shared this with me just about 3 days ago, and it has just been like, I'm still processing it, as you can tell, this whole idea of not just regret, which I do identify with, but self-recrimination and believing that I should have been able to see those things. I should have been able to notice them. And if only I had, then things would have been better. And I'm like, wow, what would it be like to live free from that? And, you know, here, the crazy thing is this ruminating over the past to see where I went wrong. I realize it almost seems humble. You know, it almost seems spiritual. It almost seems like I have this really great willingness to find more sins that I can confess than other people. So I'm realizing there might actually be some spiritual pride hiding under this self-reflective rumination thing. So
what I hear too is the recriminalization. That's so interesting, is that you're punishing yourself. Mm-hmm. Over and over again, too. Yeah.
Which makes it kind of hard to be happy if I'm so busy punishing myself. So, bottom line, if being a happy soul is my birthright as a daughter of God, which it is, then I need and I want to grow in that identity, even if it doesn't feel like it comes really naturally to me right now. To grow into my identity as a happy soul, I have to lose who I'm not. So, I'm going to say it. And all listeners who might feel this way, that you can say it along with me, I'm not excluded from happiness. And you're not excluded from happiness either, Amy, but I know that you have a completely different perspective on this.
I do. I mean, it's so funny to listen to you talk about sevens. And I've talked about a one, I'm a perfectionist, and that can make me very unhappy, I will say. But I think that God gave me this natural wiring for happiness. You've known me a long time, Sherry, and I've had, that is not to say I'm happy all the time, but I'm sort of a glass half full, you know, sunshine in my pockets kind of girl. And it's, I don't take any credit for it. So I think it's just kind of a natural wiring. And I actually, when I remember there was a period of time, I think it was kind of middle school, high school, where kids are just mean to each other. The big criticism I got multiple times from different people is, you smile too much.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't
what
that funny?
What is that to say?
Now, let's be clear. I have you smiling as a way to cover other emotions at times, but generally that's not true. I'm just kind of a naturally happy person. However, this is the crazy thing. Sometimes my happiness makes me unhappy because...
Do tell.
Because I feel guilty about it.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, it's one of these, I have a story, I will have to say, a life story that is pretty cushy overall. And maybe some of our listeners can identify. I've called it my boring testimony. Yeah, I have such a boring testimony. And so sometimes, because God has engaged my heart in areas of justice and, you know, coming alongside people who don't have a voice or addressing suffering. And, you know, I've been in India several times and there's just massive human suffering there. There's this guilt that comes with, oh, I should be suffering more, right? I should be. And so I know. So my happiness makes me unhappy. That's just nuts. So, as I listened to Katie, I was like, this is a gift that God has given you, Amy Carroll. And it's, and listen, let's be clear. I totally understand. I'm 52. I've lived long enough to know that circumstances change on a dime. And Jesus said it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Yeah. So my circumstances could change on a dime, but I need to embrace this gift of the happy soul that God has given us too.
I love it. Okay. So for all of us, the lose who you're not is you're not excluded from happiness. All right. We're going to move on to love who you are.
Okay, so one of the words that Katie used that is in Psalm 1 that I absolutely love, it's a word I love, is flourishing. And so I'm going to say to all of us, you are flourishing. That as we live in Christ, we can say that we are people that are flourishing. And secret number 5, Katie has 8 secrets of a happy soul. So her secret number 5 is the happy soul is surrendered to her King. Now, this is a little teaser. We'll be announcing at the end of the show anyway, but we have an interview coming up next week with Barb Bruce where we talk all about surrender. So a lot more good stuff is coming on this topic, but surrender is really the key to happiness in Christ, isn't it? And as I processed this, I thought we really only have 2 choices when we're in Christ. We are either fighting him or we are following him. So, I mean, those are really the only 2 choices. I know it hurt for me to have this realization. So we're either surrendered or we're not surrendered. There's really no middle ground. We're either fighting him or we're following him. And we can think about the results of these 2 things. So when we're fighting him, the results lead to exhaustion, burnout, worry, disillusionment, because, you know, we get all mad when doing it our way doesn't work. And we usually, who do we want to blame? God, right? I mean, it's crazy, but those are the results of fighting him. But the results of following him, it leads to peace and his presence. And, you know, I was like, his presence is everything, especially when our circumstances aren't good, that we can be the happy soul in hard circumstances, that they're not mutually exclusive. when we are surrendered to Him, and even in these hard circumstances, we can be flourishing. Mm. When I think about flourishing and that well-watered tree, you know, I love plants, and this it's been raining for days here in North Carolina, which I'm kind of bummed out about. I mean, COVID and rain is just not a great combination, but my plants outside are flourishing. Mm. The flowers are green, and the word verdant. Let's use some more vocabulary today. They are verdant. They are just, I mean, and the flowers are popping out all over. Mm. They are flourishing. And we can live the same way, to the extent, I think, that we're surrendered to Him.
Mm. I love that word picture. That is beautiful. So can I put you on the spot real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you give just a really quick example of a way that you have fought surrendering recently?
Oh, golly.
Or in the past, it doesn't have to be real recent. And then an example of how following Him has led to peace in His presence.
Well, I mean, one of the areas that I always want to fight God is writing. I know that's crazy, but because, you know, He gives us these gifts, these talents, these natural things. And then why is it that it's so hard to walk in them sometimes? I don't know if you ever feel that way or the listeners do, but writing, I think, is a gift God has given me, but it's something that's difficult. And so I don't like to do hard things. I don't like to do things. This is still the reforming perfectionist in me that don't come easily to me. And so I fight Him. Every time I write a blog post, I fight Him. Every time I feel called to write another book, I fight Him. So, I mean, but in the surrender, like even with exhale, you know, surrendering, because, you know, I was wrestling with God. Mm. Surrendering meant that He gave me you as my co-author. Mm. And the book became such a gift. And so I hope that's a good picture.
Well, I'm really glad I asked you this question, because it gives me an opportunity to tell our listeners about an email I received from Amy Carroll this morning. And the title of it was Leaving Self-Protective Silence Behind. Mm. And I read this blog post you wrote, and I thought it was amazing.
Thank you.
Knowing that it cost you something to write it, knowing that it cost you some surrender and obedience to write it, because when I read it, it was exactly what I needed to hear. We'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And listen, I put it off for 2 weeks because I just don't want to write it, you know?
So I'm going to say this without any intention of guilt. When you do write, it is such a blessing. It is
such a blessing. Thanks.
But I understand the struggle, and I'm not trying to guilt you into writing more anytime soon.
That's okay. God's bossing me around just fine.
All right. So Amy's Love Who You Are. And I'm just going to say this to all listeners. You are flourishing. And I just love that. And then for me, and I'm going to say this again to you, and I'm going to absorb it myself. We're going to be rubbing these into our hearts. You are carefree.
Mm.
And it just sounds cuckoo for me to even say that right now. And so I want to be really clear that I'm not talking about living in denial or forcing an agenda. And of course, having Anne-Marie living so close to us now, I'm learning all sorts of new vocabulary words. And one of the things she's taught me about is this concept of toxic positivity. I don't want to dwell on it, but I think it's worth paying attention to, because it really resonates with the cliche-driven way that some of us were raised. I'm not saying everybody, but I at least really identify with being raised to put on a happy face for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so here's one definition of toxic positivity. And let's just be clear. This is not what Katie was talking about at all. And this is also, this is not what I mean by you are carefree. Toxic positivity is the excessive and ineffective overgeneralization of a happy and optimistic state in any situation, in the denial, minimization, and invalidation of genuine human emotional experience. When a person exhibits toxic positivity, they deny any and all negative experiences that make us human and lives their life this way. So this is not what I mean by carefree. This is not biblical happiness. In fact, you and I were talking before the show, the kind of happiness that Katie was sharing about, this happy soul, it's not fake. It's not being in denial. Right. It can exist in any circumstance, even in the midst of grief, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of uncertainty, which is like my least favorite thing. I think those of us who deal with the C word, that control freak word, mm-hmm. control and uncertainty are just so hard. So, you know, when I chose this, you are carefree. And I didn't even put it together like carefree. That's its own word, but I separated it out as two words, carefree. This is very much me saying, this is who I want to be as I do what you said, which is surrender to God. And, you know, it's the craziest year to try to even wrap my head around this, because as you know, and I haven't shared this with our listeners, right before the pandemic began, I actually had a book contract canceled. It was a book I've been working on for a year and wrestled with, and I could not produce an acceptable manuscript after 3 deadline extensions. And so there was a significant loss of money, not to mention feelings of failure associated with that. And then the pandemic hit and all the speaking engagements got canceled. And so massive loss of income. So here I am saying, you are carefree in the context of having failed, which cost money, having outside circumstances that cost money. And so the amount of, and I'm back to what I started with, the amount of potential for regret and for recrimination, especially about the book that I couldn't finish, you know, it is so, I can just feel myself wanting to go back and revisit the last year and year and a half and think, well, if only I had, now that I know, if I had only seen, you know, all that sort of stuff. But Katie's secret number 4 of a happy soul. A happy soul is dependent, I'm going to choke up on this, is dependent on God's provision. And I'm not saying I'm enjoying having lost literally tens of thousands of dollars of income, some of which was actually my responsibility. I'm not going to say my fault. I'm just going to say it was my responsibility. And my habit would be to regret and to go through self-recrimination. But Psalm 1, I want to read Psalm 1 verses 1-3 here. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And you remember how she said the original audience for this would have really had this sense of abundance and safety, that picture of someone laying in the shade of a beautiful, fruitful tree in a stream of water. And she said, I love this so much. She said, Psalm 1 is kind of like Proverbs 31. You know, it's an ideal. It's this perfect portrait. And, you know, after that book contract got canceled and I went through some of the, and you were one of the people who kind of comforted me in that time of massive tears. And I realized the amount of money lost was so big, it was beyond me. Like if it had been a few hundred or a few thousand dollars, I would have been like, yes, I can work. But it was such a large amount. I just kind of threw up my hands and I was like, okay, Lord, you have to have a plan for this, or one way or another, either more money or less needs, or I'm just going to learn all sorts of things about living with way less money than I thought I was used to. And then the pandemic hit. And so I am in the process of learning what it means to be carefree, because I can't do it. I absolutely can't do it. I am utterly dependent on God's provision. And sometimes what God's provision is looking like right now is the provision that says, not going to pull that off the shelf in the store this week. It's not actually completely necessary. And to realize that with a sense of gratitude that, you know what, less impulse shopping, that means more self-control. That's a gift from God right there. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Whereas when I had more money, it was so easy to go, oh, I'm in a bad mood this week. Throw in the shopping cart. So I'm not saying that being dependent on God's provision means that tons of money is showing up or anything like that. I mean, sometimes it shows up in other ways, like a contentment when I'm shopping instead of a craving for things to make me feel better.
I just want to thank you, Sherry, for
being vulnerable, number one, because we know that with people listening in this season, there are so many people going through really painful things. But also, thank you for giving us a picture of what it looks like to live as a happy soul, trusting in God's provision when it is really hard. Mm. Because, and I think this is what Katie was trying to teach us, is that happiness is not about our circumstances. That's why we had so much pushback against it as a topic. And yet you're modeling for us what it looks like to live out the truth that Katie shared with us. So thank you.
Well, stay tuned. We'll see how well I do.
Well, it's day by day, right? I mean, yes, absolutely.
But I will say, I haven't had this experience of being dependent on God's provision before, because I've always, it's going to come out of my mouth. I've always felt like I was one step ahead of him. Like it was still me making sure things happen, and to have this much rug pulled out from under me, some of it by my own hand, some of it by forces that I believe are bent on destruction against humanity. What can I do? What can I do except learn to be dependent on God? Mm. And there is a happiness in it that isn't the trite, trivial, fluffy kind of emotive, but there is a sense of knowing. I think I have a better understanding of what Katie means by a happy soul now than I would have 6 months ago. And it's a good thing.
Good. You came up with some questions that are going to help us live our one life well with this idea wrapped around what is a happy soul.
Yeah, I loved that Katie said we are in the process of this inward identity that God has already given us. We're in the process of this inward identity becoming an external reality. And she said, these things become true as we live them out. Mm. So the first question is, how have I defined happiness? And I'll admit, I have not gone to the depths that Katie brought us to. You know, I so appreciated her taking a look at it from a biblical standpoint. I've thought of it as being cheerfulness, giddiness, giggly, laughter, chipper. Like right now, people who are really chipper and cheerful annoy me. They just do. People who are always so looking on the bright side, always up for fun, who almost seem shallow and Pollyanna. So honestly, I think I really have kind of defined happiness as being borderline toxic positivity. Like I have had an unnecessarily negative view of happiness. So I think number one, we need to ask, how have I defined happiness? And maybe has that been too unnaturally and unnecessarily narrow a definition? Second question, how does the Bible define happiness? And, you know, just to kind of recap what Katie said, she said that in Scripture, according to the original language, happiness, gladness, contentment, joy, and peace are all more similar than they are different. Mm. So, you know, when we start splitting hairs, it's not happiness, it's joy. That is not in the original language.
Amazing.
And then, and this next question will lead to action, Amy, giving us some steps we can take. But how can my inward identity as a happy soul become an external reality? Like, how can I live it out as an act of obedience and as a step of growing into something that may not feel like it fits quite yet, but it will fit as I take action on it? So Amy, give us some actions to take.
Well, those are such great questions. And they all kind of tap into what we've talked about with growth mindset, that this doesn't necessarily happen every night. It's something that we grow into attaining. But the first action to take is give yourself permission to be a happy soul. To be happy. I think that so many of us have wrestled with this, and are we supposed to be happy, or is that like a terrible thing or a not Christian thing, right? And so number one is give yourself permission to be happy with the definition that Katie gave us, which was so clear and wonderful. And then number two is embrace true happiness, the blessing of being in Christ, but shun fake happiness, that toxic positivity that you were talking about, that I think particularly we as women in the church have embraced this, oh, we must be happy, as a facade that has become toxic for lots of us.
Can I add one more action step?
Yes, please.
It's really silly.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh my, if you all could see what Sherry was breaking out, maybe they can hear it.
My pom-poms. You need to buy pom-poms. Okay, it doesn't have to be pom-poms, but I'm serious. I thought this was going to be the dumbest thing in the world, and I bought it just to prove that pom-poms could not make me happy, and I was wrong. I bought these pom-poms to use with some of my co-working sessions that I do with people, and at the very end, we talk about what we've gotten done and cheer them on. And I have had more fun using these pom-poms. And so, okay, listeners, you don't have to buy pom-poms, but try something, like a physical something to change your state. I have the most ridiculous, absurd form of fun with my pom-poms.
Oh, and if you have pom-poms that match your shirt, like Sherry does, you get 10 bonus points. So just saying. But no, I love that. You know what? I stood in line with a picture of a llama on a bicycle in Home Goods years ago. And the lady at the cash register looked at me and looked at my picture that I have hanging in my living room of a llama on a bicycle and said, "What in the world?" And that's like, it makes me smile every time I look at it. And it does. So why not have a physical thing that does that? Okay. I like that idea.
Okay. So Amy, you remind us of the scripture for these two episodes.
So beautiful. Psalm 1 verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Sherry, what's the grit in all that for you?
Okay, so the grit is not going to sound very gritty, but those of us who are control freaks, the listeners who are control freaks, will understand how much grit these first three words take. Relaxing, resting, and receiving spiritual abundance and safety that God provides me. Mm. You know, she said that it's abundance and safety, but Katie was very careful to clarify that it's not necessarily always going to be emotional or relational or tangible, but it's always, we always have spiritual abundance and safety from God. So, you know, for me, the grit is to realize whatever is happening internally, whatever is happening externally, I am a happy soul eternally.
Oh, that's good. Well, the grace for me is it's okay to enjoy the pleasure of being in Christ. It should. It should be a pleasure. And then I added, and even the happy spots in our circumstances, these are places that we should be building gratitude, building thankfulness, taking joy, basking in the happiness. And it's not that we depend on those things, but we can enjoy those happy circumstances without guilt.
We hope you've enjoyed episode 196 of Grit and Grace, the podcast.
Listeners, we're so grateful that you join us each and every week.
And we're so grateful for this week's sponsor, Katie Orr, author of Secrets of the Happy Soul, Experience the Deep Delight You Were Made For, and her publisher, Bethany House.
Check out our webpage at gritandgracethepodcast.com/episode196. There you'll find this week's transcript, links to Katie's website and social media, and a direct link to order Katie's book, Secrets of the Happy Soul, Experience the Deep Delight You Were Made For.
If you're not yet a member of our Facebook group, we would love to have you join us. Just search Facebook for Grit N Grace the Community, and you'll find us.
Join us next week as we talk with Barb Roos, author of Surrendered, Letting Go, and Living Like Jesus.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And as He lights the path along the one beautiful life He's planned for you, take the next step and live it. So the first question is how, and I'm asking this of myself, and we're going to recommend this to our listeners. This is all part of Live Your One Life Well Now. Did you already say that, Amy? Do I need to cut that out?
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, either way.
I'll deal with it in editing. Okay. So the first question is, how have I defined happiness?